seeds. Collecting seeds is a phase. The seed could be a phrase, a melody, a bass line, or a rhythmic feel in music. An idea appearing to hold less vitality may grow into a beautiful work. Other times, the most exciting seed may not ultimately yield fruit. It's too soon to tell until you're further along in the process. So collect as many seeds over time and then look back and see which ones resonate. Accumulate several weeks or months worth of ideas and then choose which of them to focus on instead of following an urge or obligation to rush to the finish line with what is in front of you today. Sometimes the purpose of a seed is to propel us in a completely new direction, to cultivate a sense of awe and wonder at what's possible, and to recognize this productivity is not generated by our hand alone. The work reveals itself as you go. Experimentation. After you've collected a handful of seeds, enter the second stage, which is experimentation. Look for ideas that hold the most promise and generate possibilities. The heart of experiment is mystery. Not every seed must grow, but it may be that there's a right time for each one. There are ideas whose time has not yet come, or perhaps their time has come, but you're not ready to engage with them. Other times, developing a different seed may shed light on a dormant one. The outcome is not up to us. Give attention to each seed, regardless of what you believe its potential may be. When an idea is flourishing, how do you know when an idea is flourishing? Often the most accurate signposts are emotional, not intellectual. Excitement is the best barometer. It's an energizing feeling of wanting more. So follow the heart. Base your decisions on the internal feeling of being moved and notice what holds your interest. This will always be the greatest service of the work. Try everything. There is a gap between imagination and reality. The only way to truly know if an idea works is to test it. Test everything. Ask what if. Give yourself permission to be wrong and experience the joy of being surprised. Crafting. Once a seed's code has been cracked and its true form deciphered, the process shifts. You're in the craft phase, the labor of building. The craft phase is one of the least glamorous parts of an artist's job, but art may only exist and the artist may only evolve by completing the work. Moving between multiple projects can be helpful, even in a single work session. In the craft phase, you're applying your filter, whereas in the experimentation phase, you are not. Reviewing the totality of the experience in the world and searching for connections is what's reminding you that is what this phase is about. What does this remind us of, and what can we measure it against, and what does it relate to that we've noticed over the course of our lives? It's not just a building up, it's also a breaking down, like a pruning process of small cuts. Crafting can be daunting. Think of it as another opportunity for play. Momentum. When treated like the earlier phases, the craft phase may extend longer than necessary. Once enough data is collected and the vision is clear, set deadlines for completion. Going from storyboard to finished film is somewhat of a mechanical process. There is art and inspiration involved, but there are a million choices to be made. But the path is clear ahead. The creative task now has narrower parameters. The artist's goal is not merely to produce, but to make the finest work they're capable of. So think in terms of timeless excellence. Be patient and avoid rushing the process while at the same time work quickly without delay. Another challenge is demoitis, the danger of living with the unfinished project for too long. A particular draft can seem more final and become so in an artist's mind. By not accepting the work in progress as the standard version, you leave room for growth, change, and development to continue. It's also possible for something great to be made very quickly. Another impediment is the vision for the work exceeds an artist's ability to manifest it, like an unrealistic, idealized version. Don't let the scale of your imagination get in the way of executing a more practical version of your project. You may come to realize this version is better than the initial seemingly impossible vision. When you're on a roll, work toward a full first draft. Maintain the momentum. With the end in sight, it's easier to feel motivated to finish. The more of the work you can see, the easier it is to gracefully place the final details clearly where they belong. Art is choosing to do something skillfully, caring about the details, bringing all of yourself to make the finest work you can. It's beyond ego, vanity, self-glorification, and the need for approval. Point of view. The goal of art isn't to attain perfection. The goal is to share who we are and how we see the world. The artist's perception reminds us of who we are and who we can be. Our art resonates because it's human beings are so similar. We're attached to this shared experience, including the imperfection in it. The personal is the universal, says Carl Rogers. The personal is what makes our art matter, our point of view, not musical virtuosity or ability to tell a story or drawing skills. The difference between art and most other trades is that the reason we create art isn't the intention of making something useful for everyone else. We create to express who we are and where we are on our journey. Whatever our perspective, so long as we can share it unaltered and undoctored, we succeed in art's fundamental purpose. What causes us to notice a piece of art is rarely the point of being made. We are drawn to the way an artist's filter refracts ideas, not to the ideas themselves. Your point of view is baked into the art you make. You don't need to make a point of making a point. Knowing this is liberating. You're free to be present and allow the material to simply come through. Much of art's greatness is felt on a gut level. Your self-expression allows the audience to have their own self-expression. Great art opens a conversation rather than closing it. Can great art come from conformity? Those of us choosing to live as artists embrace our filter as a gift. To reject it would be tragic. The refracted light it projects is our own singular landscape of artistic possibility. How can a piece of art be truly a guilty pleasure? There are countless examples of imitation turning into legitimate innovation. Having a romanticized vision of an artist, genre, or tradition may allow you to create something new because you see it from a different perspective than those closer to it. It's impossible to imitate another artist's point of view, so feel free to copy the works that inspire you. The culture informs who you are, and who you are informs your work, and your work then feeds back into the culture. Expressing oneself in the world and creativity are the same. It may not be possible to know who you are without somehow expressing it. Breaking the sameness. When you hit a wall and the work isn't getting anywhere, there are exercises you can do, such as 1. Take small steps. Do a small task. Just do something every day. 2. Change the environment, like turning off the lights or holding a microphone instead of standing in front of it, etc., etc. 3. Change the stakes, like pretending it's the last time you'll ever play a certain song. 4. Invite an audience. Some artists tend to be more focused with someone else present. 5. Change the context, like add a new meaning or additional backstory. 6. Alter the perspective, like change the volume in your headphones or some way of designing the surroundings to naturally encourage the performance you're striving for. 7. Write for someone else. Imagine that your favorite artist asked you to write a song on their next album. What would that song sound like? Many artists have a perceived idea of what's in their wheelhouse, and that's ultimately a limitation, so it's helpful to step outside yourself and into someone else's wheelhouse. 8. Add imagery. Think of specific imagery or a story, and it'll help bring a stronger direction to the piece. 9. Limit the information. Be protective and limit people you're working with from experiencing things that could interfere with the creative process. Limit the information to the barest of sketches. Give them the freedom to create. Completion. Completion phase is the final form where the work is refined to be released into the world. A revision, an addition, and a deletion may be called for. And you may have to step back into the craft or experiment phase and work your way forward once again. But the completion phase is the finished piece is examined to ensure it meets your highest standard. Close to completion, it can be helpful to open the work to other perspectives. Your primary aim is not to receive notes or opinions. You are the only audience that matters. The intention is for you to experience the work anew. You're not necessarily looking for an outside perspective. You're more interested in widening your own. Criticism allows us to engage with our work in a new way. We may agree or we may double down on our original instincts. Sometimes a challenge allows us to focus. If you created a truly innovative work, it's likely to alienate as many people as it attracts. The best art divides the audience. If everyone likes it, you probably haven't gone far enough. In the end, you're the only one who has to love it. This work is for you. The due date could help bring time into focus and support you in completing the work. Fear of permanence is common beyond art. It's known as commitment phobia. Each piece can never be a total reflection of us, only a reflection of who we are in this moment. If we wait, it's no longer today's reflection. Part of the process of letting go is releasing any thoughts of how your piece will be received. When making art, the audience comes last. One of the greatest rewards of making art is our ability to share it. Finishing our work boosts confidence.